Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by Motto Mortgage. At Motto Mortgage Prosperity, their mission is to serve their customers with honesty, integrity, and competence. Their goal is to provide home loans to their clients while also delivering the lowest interest rates and closing costs possible. Their pledge is to help borrowers overcome roadblocks that can arise while securing a loan. In short, let Motto Mortgage Prosperity work for you. They're not a bank. That means more transparency, more options, less jargon. And because they believe in delivering exceptional customer service, Motto Mortgage Prosperity works directly with wholesale lenders to provide you with multiple competitive quotes. Your dream, your expertise, Motto Mortgage. 3, 2, 1, good morning. That's you.
Good morning.
How are you?
Excellent, Tom.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for hanging out.
Oh, thanks for the invite.
Oh, brother, anytime. I love
beautiful day. Good for a trip from Rehoboth to Milton.
Yeah, people always, you know, I think people are always amazed. I've had so many people on, and I just like meeting people, you know. And it's amazing how, you know, how many people want to be friends. You know, it's not a, I had some guys on the other day, and I was saying, I'm just tired of being scared of, like, making friends.
I mean, that's why I'm in the business that I'm in. That was the fork in the road, and it, you know, it came from part-time jobs and realizing that I really like helping people and getting to know people. And, you know, it was, you know, my path was going to lead me to maybe medicine and, you know, in and out and, you know, not really getting to know people as much and really trying to hide. I think most doctors tried to hide. My grandfather tried to hide from people when he wasn't doctoring. And that wasn't me. You know, I realized it wasn't, thankfully. And I was able to switch paths, you know, at a good time in my life.
Well, real quick, introduce yourself because, so we know.
Yeah, my name's Trey Krause, and I was born and raised in Princeton, and I've been around the country a little bit, working here and there, and I've been in Rehoboth for 15 years. I own Carlton's, and I do a few other things, too.
Well, and I wanted you to say that so that I could say that, you know, this is a great community to kind of do that kind of stuff. And, you know, whether it's the hair business, podcasting, clothing line, you know, you, whether you want to or not, if you're going to open a business in this town or area, you're going to make friends, you're going to make relationships, and it's going to be, you know, if it's a continuous business, it's going to be a long-lasting relationship.
You know, I've gotten involved in so many facets of the community around here, and I tried when I was, you know, in New York, and I tried when I was in D.C. It was so hard because it was such a large place, and you're such a small fish in a huge pond. And when I came here, I realized that I could make a difference not only to the community but to myself.
Yeah,
and that was that. That's what's been like, I guess, the enlightening part of my life here and what I really enjoy a lot. The store gives me the opportunity, the pulpit, let's say, to
that's funny. Yeah,
to go and pursue whatever it might be that I want to pursue. And I've really kind of, I'm finding my niche here and there. So,
well, I know owning a business in this area has been great because and just like you said, you know, I've never, you know, I grew up in New Mexico. You know, I may see someone and may never see him again or a year later or, but, you know, we could do this podcast and then I can run into you getting a coffee at Wawa and then bump into you again and buying fruit at Fresh Market and then, you know.
I think that's going to happen. I think we're going to start seeing each other now. Without realizing, we've seen each other a million times before that.
Yeah, well, it's a great community, and I've been here since '94, but right away that was one of the things that I appreciated. At the same time, it's a bit of a struggle. At the same time, because you know you are available quite a bit, and you know it's a good thing and a more good thing, but you know sometimes it can be a lot of gossip sometimes and catching up in some of the stuff.
You know, I if there is gossip about me, I haven't heard it.
Let's
keep it that way. You know,
I just mean people that love to gossip.
Yeah, it's there, and I guess my biggest thing is if I screw up, it's hard to hide.
Oh,
and great. Believe me, my goal is to not screw up, but it happens, right? Hey. I mean, not everybody's happy with what you do, and people misinterpret and misread, you know, what you're doing. I'm in a service industry. I mean, yes, I sell products, but primarily it's service. And do I want to screw up, you know, Tommy's prom outfit? Heck no. You know, I mean, that's why I'm intimately running that.
Right.
It's not a huge part of my business, but it is a part of the community, and I got to live amongst these people. And so I can't, like, be in Giant and see the mom of the kid who, for some reason, it got messed up. Yeah. So I, you know, it's a very stressful time of year for me, but enjoyable.
From the high school stuff that goes on, the dances and
the proms.
Proms.
That's one of my great joys every year is seeing the kids come through, and then eventually they'll come through, a lot of them will come through, and I'll do their weddings. You know, the groom outfits and the groomsmen's and the dads and everything. And it's we've even had three generations come through now.
That is funny when, and it makes you feel like I'll have a client. I remember I'll do a client from back when she was in high school. And then the next thing you know, she's graduating. And then the next thing you know, she's getting married. And then the next thing you know, they're having kids. And then the next thing you know, I'm cutting their kids' hair. And I'm like, wait a minute, where did my life go? Like, am I really 20 years older now?
No, there's a time warp, I think.
You mentioned James, you know, James and I ran this morning and I said, you know, we're getting older. I mean, we're trying to fight it, but it just happens. And, you know, I'm not exactly, he's a little older, so he's a little more stressed about it. I'm like, eh, no big deal. He's all, wait till you're turning 60. And I go, oh. So maybe he's right, but could be worse.
Age doesn't bother me. Bother me. I don't even, sometimes I have to like stop and think about how old I actually am. I work out a lot. I try and keep good health. I try and think young, be young, hang young. I love hanging out with my son's like roommates. He's in college and I love hanging out with them. It keeps me young. And it's kind of weird for some people, but I don't know. My dad was the same way. And you know, you do mimic your parents a lot. And if there's anybody I want to mimic, it's my dad. I mean, he was just one of my heroes.
Well, we were chatting about that too this morning because I have a 14-year-old son. So I was thinking, you know, one of a bucket list of mine, a thing on my bucket list is to do a comedy act, a 5-minute stand-up act. And we were running this morning and I was kind of running by some of my jokes. And I go, you know, I'm a cool dad. And the kryptonite to a cool dad is a 14-year-old son.
Yeah, they can definitely
reset your coolness. And it's funny because I said to you when you walked in, you know, you look great. I love your style. You got a great jacket. I won't even pretend I know what that would be called. It's more just a cool sport coat sort of with a hoodie, some cool jeans and some on-point shoes. I go, that looks good. But, you know, to some people we would think, "Oh, you're cool. You know, that's a cool look. You're up to date. You kind of have your finger on what's going on." And my son would be like, "I don't need a cool dad. It ain't working." And I'm like, because our dads weren't cool. I should speak for my dad. My dad was not a cool dad. My dad was a hard worker. He was a military guy. He was not cool. You know, he was very by the book. But it seems like as things become more accessible to us, styles of clothing, you know, maybe we want to kind of keep our youth a bit. Maybe it appears like we're trying to be cool. I don't know the balance between, you know, just dressing nice and maybe in the back of our head trying to be cool, but it's a new thing. And I didn't deal with that. I never dealt with my dad being cool. And I don't find myself as trying to be cool. I just tried to be in the moment.
My dad, it's interesting. My dad was
Turn this tray just a little bit like that. Just so, yeah, that's
all right.
There you are.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Hey, now.
So my dad wasn't cool work-wise. Right. You know, he worked as a parole officer and then up the Department of Correction. I mean, now parole officers, when you had to have a master's in psychology to do that. Now you have to be an ex-con because that you got to relate. And they won't pay any attention to, you know, some educated. It's in Jersey. It's pretty much along those lines, and it works because, you know, who knows better,
right?
than
makes
that.
Sense.
And so, you know, we drove. He had a state car that had a seal on the side, and he'd drive that home and drive it to work, you know, and all that. But when he wasn't working, he was cool. And I didn't realize that until later on in life when I'd go home and I'd bump into my friends with my dad, and they loved him. And I'm like, you know, why can they love him what seems more than I possibly do? Or what do they, you know, they love about him of things that I never really kind of saw? I was always embarrassed by what they thought was cool. And
so it's natural.
It is. And
so I think that's the same thing my son's going through.
So I'm not, you know, my advice to you would then, you know, and this is just, you know what, just do it. Be, you know, be who you think you should be, because he's just playing his role. You play your role, and the two will merge later on in life. Because I'm starting to get there now with my son. My son's 21, and you know, we just went to a concert in Philadelphia. We've been to a couple other concerts together. I'm going to pick him up in New York. He's coming back from Israel, and a couple days later, we're going back to New York for 5 days. This will be the first time he's going to work with me.
Nice.
It's a party too.
It's a party. You know, oh, there you go.
Everybody, I make it a party. So, like, you know, Saturday night, we're going to see David Byrne, American Utopia.
Okay.
And then we're going to go with a buddy of mine and some others that normally join us to this one Greek restaurant for grilled lamb chops. I mean, my buddy, that's his, like, thing. I like to mix it up a little bit more, but he likes to keep it. So,
sounds good.
Friends are friends.
Yeah.
You go with the flow. And then we go to live music. So Zach will come with us for that. And then Sunday, we'll start with football because the game's start at 3 o'clock on that, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. Those are the ones to determine who goes into the Super Bowl.
So it's one game that day?
Two. One for AFC, one for NFC.
Is it on Saturday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday,
no,
or both
it's
on
Sunday at 3 and Sunday at like 6:30, okay, something like that. And we've always done this. And most of my buddies who have businesses like mine elsewhere, they're all kind of in the Boston area. So nice. New England has always been playing on that day.
Were you guys Patriots fans?
I am not.
Okay.
I've been a, you know, when Tom Brady came in, I was living on the doorstep of New England.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a Giants fan, primarily. Okay. Giants and Raiders. Grew up as a Raider fan.
I love football.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm not going to send us off a different path yet.
No, not yet.
Go ahead.
And then, so we'll, I got waylaid because one of my vendors is celebrating a 20th anniversary. So they invited me to dinner. So I had a choice. I'm going to give my son like an experience. We're going to go to like some high-end New York City restaurant, party with this, you know, incredibly funky brand, Robert Graham, that I have. They're celebrating their 20th year. It's going to be a great experience for him. I mean, I've done stuff like this before, but even for me, this will be a lot of fun too. And so this is, we're starting to now to come together is I guess where I'm taking this is.
I'm starting to think you're a cool dad too. I'm kind of a little jealous.
I try. I really do. And you know, I only have one child and I can't screw it up.
Well, the funny thing is, and you mentioned it, music, you know, I think that music, I know when I say my dad wasn't cool, but my dad loved music. You know, he always had, you know, my dad was in Vietnam, so he came back from Vietnam with these, you know, the reels, you know, the technique, the highest end reel to reels that you could have, the highest end record player, the highest end tuner, great speakers. And then I remember when the CD player came out, he got the first version of it, you know, so in sort of since he was kind of cool. I think today with the amount of music, especially, you know, as a kid that grew up in just kind of like the 80s and 90s, the music was so much and so available that today I think that my love for music, it ties our relationship with my son and I through music. But now his music is starting to differentiate from me. We're leaving. You know, he's kind of going into that, I call it that lazy smoke pot rock music, like we probably listened to that drove our parents crazy. You know, I love the music, I hate the message kind of thing. So I think that's where our struggle is. I don't know why, you know, me living, I also think that part of it is that I've never really, it's always been a hustle. You know, I struggled early with addiction and a lot of different things. And I, where a lot of us take the time to get an education, you know, I partied and just kind of skipped that. So I had a late start. So it's always just trying to do something and trying to be involved in whatever's kind of the up and coming thing. And I think maybe that seems like trying to be cool, but to me, I think it's just super interesting and I love doing it. And I think there's a little confusion with him thinking that I'm trying to be cool, where I'm just trying to enjoy it, enjoy my time.
You know, I guess one of the things that really, you know, came to me was you don't, life experiences are the education you need for many things. If you want to be a doctor, you need a certificate, so you got to educate yourself for that. But you own a business, I own a business. I needed a passion, and I needed life experiences to be successful at it. Not anybody can just, you know, open up. I mean, we're sitting in a place that has, many people have tried their dreams and haven't. It takes a special person to persevere in business. And
what do you think the first thing it is you need to have in business to succeed?
I know this sounds like very defeatist, but fear of failure is one of the...
Humility.
Primary. I mean, so a friend of mine, we started in the same business at the same time, in the same building, on the same, well, one floor apart. We chased the same girls, and he moved back to North Carolina from New York, and we met up again about 5-6 years later. I'm like, whatever happened to that girl you ran off with? I said, you know, she was hot. He goes, she only lasted like 3 months. I'm like, you stole her from New York and all of us for 3 months? I said, come on. But he went on to found a very successful clothing business. And when he was going to drop everything he was doing and go full time into this business. At the same time, I was buying Carlton's from the, you know, original owners. And we talked often about it. And he said, Trey, you will be successful. I know you. Because, don't take this the wrong way, you will have the fear of failure will drive you to be successful. I mean, those were his words. And that was so poignant. And when I went through the recession and almost lost Carlton's, I mean, I was 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I had to wire money. You know, my landlord gave me an extension of 5 days, and I was at the last 5 minutes, and I signed the document. I said, all right, here, you need to wire, you know, $30-some thousand to this, you know, to this account. And that was the lowest part. But I was fighting because the fear of, I could not fail. How could I fail?
Right.
You know, that's not me. I'm not a, you know. And so there's that. And then there's an innate desire, at least in my business, to please people. You know, I'm a host.
Yep.
First and primary, I'm a host. Second all, I am there to kind of be a valet of sorts or a butler and guide people if they want. I mean, people who come in and, you know, just looking, you know, they're missing the best part of my business. Best part of my business is coming up and say, you know, can you help me?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. You know, I've helped. I can't tell you. You know, presidents, vice presidents, Supreme Court justices, you know, athletes and Hall of Fame coaches, and you know, just everybody you can imagine. And I've learned a lot. You know, I've lectured to the War College for people, you know, in the armed services who are retiring and going to the private sector, how to dress like a civilian. If you walk in, it's like if I just sit down in a chair and I tell you exactly how I want you to cut my hair, wow, you've got a wealth of knowledge.
Right.
That's what our businesses are about. And that's what I want, you know, that's what motivates me is to always be readily available, know my stuff, and when someone wants that help, be able to do that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think I always say, you know, it's 10% talent or 20% talent and 80% personality. You know, that's what they say to be a successful hairdresser, 20% talent, 80% personality. You know, it's what you would think would be most important which would be cutting of the hair, and clearly you have to do a nice job of cutting hair, but it's a relationship, you know. Do they feel comfortable? Do they appreciate you? Do they like talking, you know? Are you a good chat? You know, if you can't talk to somebody, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of businesses struggle with, especially the ones that kind of, you know, I think it sounds like you're at yours quite a bit, but, you know, a lot of these businesses, they just put people, you know, they want to make a business, they want to hire a staff, and then they just want to let it run. And nobody gives a shit, you know, unless you have some skin in the game. Like today, I'd hire people, they're all great, you know, but like a commission-based, you know, a person that, you know, worked for a commission. But today, now I only do chair rental. People have to pay for that chair. And I find that people that have to have some skin in the game are more into it. You know, it's the ones that don't really have much skin in, right. Nothing to lose.
That off day when they may not feel up to it, if they don't have any skin in the game, they're not there. They might as well not even come in.
Nope.
I'm on the floor every day. I have an office upstairs, you know, in our building, and yet I choose to sit at this little dinky oak desk.
Yeah.
And I put myself front and center. And I get criticism from people for, you know, working, you know, and they got to like move around me. But, you know, when I was traveling around in the South, I noticed that all the clothing stores down there had like a little center section, kind of like a bank, mm-hmm. little tiny fenced in area kind of thing. And they had desks there.
Cage.
And they'd work. Yeah. And, you know, if you needed help and you were a salesperson, there's your answer right there.
Yeah.
And then the big boss had his... You know, he was upstairs with a window that overlooked the store. And when times were a little tough, and one, I needed to be there because of coverage, as we call it, as well as, I'm not going to sit up in my office while things, you know, swirl down a whirlpool and down the drain. I'm going to go and I'm going to fight for my business. And so I've been there ever since.
Well, you know what's hard to do? I think a lot of people struggle with is to compliment people. And I think in my business and in your business, you know, you have to be like kind of like that cheerleader, like, oh my God, you know, that looks great. You know, that, and it's personal, you know, and there's a personal relationship, especially like when you buy clothes and someone's like, wow, that looks great, you know, or they give you advice and you're like, wow, I appreciate that. And then when the advice that you give them, they use and it actually works out and they look better. I mean, people... There's something about, and I know it happens with clothing. When I do, like somebody will come in with a hairstyle or just kind of lost their way with their look. And, you know, we update their color and update their cut. And you can just see this sparkle like, oh, yeah, that's the person that I remember me being, you know. And I know that happens, especially with me with clothes. You know, like I was struggling with jeans. You know, jeans are weird. And I finally found this pair. Levi's 513s, if anybody's interested, that I wore. And I was like, oh, my God, this is how a good pair of pants fit. And all of a sudden, it just released a lot of freedom because, you know, when you don't feel good about your look or about your clothing, you just don't feel good.
That's, you know, that's my principle that guides me every day. And that's why I do what I do. My one of my favorite comments is, you know, a couple will come in, and we've got both men's and women's, and the women will run up to the women's section, and the man will be, you know, around, and I'd like, hey, how about, you know, looking around for yourself? I don't need to dress up. I know you don't. You know, I can wear a t-shirt and this. I know you can. I said, does your wife, like, when you go out to dinner, does she get all dolled up? She put makeup on? Does she, you know, like, look around? I said, why don't you do something for her? Forget about what's good for you and how you feel and all that. Why don't you get dressed up when next time you go out to dinner? Try it. See what happens. Not many people do. They kind of laugh and chuckle at it. But I think that they would find that good things happen to you when you look a certain way. I used to always, you know, when I traveled overseas, this was like one of my big things. Besides the restaurants, you know, going and getting like a table in the front. You know, in the front window in New York. I mean, it was such a competition, you know, when you're entertaining, you know, can you, you know, extend the experience of your showroom to include the dinner and all that. But When I'd travel, I worked in Herndon, and Dulles was right there. And I would leave the office in my suit, and I'd go up, and it would be an overnight red-eye flight to Europe. And waiting in line, I get up to the counter, and I kind of like tap my fingers and go, look, you know, I just got out of a meeting. I didn't have time to change. I got to fly overnight like this. Can you just like help me with a aisle, or not an aisle, an exit row or a bulkhead? And they'd go, and they'd click on their little screen. Sir, how about a business class? Now I know if I went there with sweats, that probably wouldn't have happened. Maybe I'd get a bulkhead if I had a the right approach. But good things happen to you when you dress. That's my
dress for success.
My philosophy. It is, yeah.
No, I agree, and I think that we forget that. I mean, I even can fall into the first thing I was thinking about when I was listening to you was that I have become okay with just mediocre, mediocre clothes, because I have three kids, a small business, the money's just not pouring out of the windows, saying? So we have to think about, the money that I spend on clothes. And I buy kind of junky clothes, but if I know that I want to get something, there was a guy, like, I'll come to your store, I know if it's going to be special, that's where I'm going to find the clothes that's going to fit great, quality, last long. Last a long time, and but for the most part, I dress in mediocre crap, and it's just become so. When you find that nice pair of jeans or that nice shirt that fits like a nice T-shirt, when you put on a nice T-shirt, you're like, wow, that's nice. I make some shirts. I have, I just made a shirt that says husband, verb, because everyone thinks husband's a noun,
right?
There is a verb, a version of a husband.
Absolutely.
But my son says, whatever you make sure it's the best quality T-shirt you can get, because that's what's most important. And I'm like, really? So I make T-shirts, not to sell. I make me one shirt. But I said, I just want the best T-shirt that you got. She's like, oh, okay. Because that's where we skimp, is the quality. And I buy these shirts and, oh my God, they're just so soft, and they last for a while, and but it's tough. And I think that we've all just kind of, and you mentioned it, we stop dressing for our wives or our partners. We just kind of get into this rut, and we forget that it's important.
Yeah, it's okay if you don't. I mean, I realize that not everybody's gonna have the same passion for dressing as I do. It's fine, but
it's fine.
Fine. I mean, nothing I can do. You can't move a mountain, but I just think that people would benefit from it emotionally, spiritually. It would be uprising. You mentioned, when someone changes their look and they walk out and they get a compliment or two, that's the best thing in the world, is when they come back, right? People come back and they say, you know what? One guy, I gave him an outfit for a presentation. He says, oh, my presentation came back. Presentation went, incredibly well. And I must have gotten like 5 or 6 compliments on my outfit. Here I am up on the stage, and they call you, man, that is a beautiful sport coat and pants. Where'd you get that? And they were nowhere near our store. He says, oh, it was a store in Rehoboth Beach. If you're ever there, you should, stop in. Go see Trey. He'll hook you up. But he when he came to tell me, I could see how excited he was and proud of himself and how he felt that was a part of his success. And I contributed to that. That, like, wow, that's amazing. But when they come back, you see that sparkle. And I'm sure when you do something special to someone and they get those compliments on their style, their hairstyle, their general overall look, that makes your life for that day.
And, it's actually happened a little bit in podcasting. I did a podcast with, I was at Panera, the office of the hustler. That's where all the movers and shakers go, the people that do the work. And I met these two guys, and I was like, what are you guys up to? They're like, excuse me? And I go, it looks like you're working on, like, music or something. And they're like, oh, yeah. Two Rasta guys, Rastafari guys. And I don't even know if they're Rastafarian, but they're just kind of that spiritual kind of thing. And they end up coming on the podcast, and it was a son and dad. And the father brought his bass, and the son, who just, I guess, graduated from Sussex Academy last year, is now going to school over in Portland. He had his laptop, and he's mixing beats, and he's just free singing on it. And we did the podcast, and I'm watching them. And the dad's like playing the bass, and his son's like, he's dropping some great lyrics, and he keeps looking at him like, oh yeah, like that's my boy right there. And then John, his son's name was Jonathan, he kept looking at his dad like, that's a nice riff. So it was great to see. And then I talked to Kiefer again, and he's like, you know, something special happened that day with my son and I, and I appreciate that. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. And so he's coming back on. He's going to be on Thursday. We're going to do another podcast because I love him. He's just so fun. He brought a bass guitar, and he's just super spiritual. But, you know, whether it's in the hair business or podcasting, you know, it's, you have to be available, really, for the message. Sometimes I can get so caught up in other stuff that I forget to see those things. And it's nice to slow down and see
that. Well, and one of the things that I also do is I have we talked about this, I have a radio show.
Yeah, and I want to talk about it.
And I do it. It's Friday nights.
Let's promote it.
Okay, Friday nights.
This is about you, bro.
Every Friday night on Radio Rehoboth 99.1, or you can go to RadioRehoboth.com, and there's a thing to listen live or on, you know, listen online or something like that, or tune in. You know, if you got one of the smart speakers, go up. You know, Radio Rehoboth WWSX. Boom. Pops
is that
up.
What it's called? Tune in.
Well, TuneIn is like I can do TuneIn on my phone.
Yeah, I think I saw it on is it on the
it's like radio.com.
I think I see it in my Sonos app.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, TuneIn.
And it's on, like, I've got a receiver that does.
Oh, so is TuneIn like a radio?
It's an app.
It's an app, but it kind of gives you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because somebody was telling me about something on radio, and I go, I don't even have a radio.
Like, you know,
so maybe that would work.
There's TuneIn. A great radio station in Philly, WMMR. And when I'm traveling around, and sometimes I get into, I love Sunday mornings, they've got a great, they don't do many, like, it's all music, almost, which is unusual.
Yeah.
And so I'll listen to that. But anyway, so I've got the show, and I walk around town, and I bump into people, and they're like, that was a great show. And I'm like, you listen?
I know, isn't that funny? Really? You listen to it?
And, you know, and they're friends or, you know, so I've got this, like, core that I, but there's so many people I don't know.
It's funny, man.
And you know, here we are. We're talking just to us. We don't know who's going to be listening to this.
Yeah.
And I'm in a studio, and I'm like, is anybody out there?
Yeah.
You know, Pink Floyd. And so I've
well, and it's funny to kind of to make a point about that is that, you know, when you get into stuff like, I mean, you have it. It's actually an established radio station. What we're doing here is like from the ground up. I mean,
we started it. I was the first live.
Yeah,
local programming.
But you say, oh yeah, we're on the radio at 99.1. That's well, that's a radio. I mean, that's okay. But when you say we do a podcast, like, oh, what's a podcast? You know, so it's still a hurdle for some folks to get over. But the point is that, you know, of course you know, you rely on your friends and your close family to check it out. But when somebody out of that circle actually listens and appreciates it, you're like, wow, okay. That just made it all worth it.
There's some people that carry big names or are very recognizable in the community for what they do. And I hold them up in, you know, esteem. And when they're the ones, it, like, that's like, oh my God, that's so cool. And so, like, I ran into someone I've been friendly with for the 15 years I've been here. We can always get into a conversation when we see each other. We're that, you know, we're that close. He owns a bar restaurant in Dewey, and I'll go in and we'll talk, we'll catch up, find out about the kids, all that stuff. I saw him at a party Saturday night, and I said, did you listen last night? He goes, oh yeah, yeah. He goes, what do you think? And he'll give me some feedback. And I said, well, do you want to like request a song? I'll play a song for you. And he goes, no, don't even mention my name. Type of thing. And that's with everybody. And I want to like scream out, you know, Jack and Tessa and Gary and Barbara and, you know, all these people that I know. And I've got friends that are in New York that listen and Florida that listen. And my roommate from college in Bucks County, he listens. And they'll text me, you know, during the show. And now I've been taping it because I can't get out of the store Friday until like 5:30, 6 o'clock, but the show starts at 5. So I've been taping. So I'm going to record it tomorrow night for Friday night.
Nice.
And that's hard. It's kind of hard because I don't even listen to the music now during the recording. I listen to it before when I make my playlist. And I've been given a lot of liberty. You know, Jeff Bach, who owns Snyder's Candy, he's the general manager. I'm not sure about the financial investments or anything. I don't want to know. I've got enough going on in my life. But he's given me the freedom to pretty much play, you know, the genre of music and what I want to play from our original, like, agreement, which is pretty much anything, any music out there.
Tell me the day again.
Fridays at 5 to 8.
Fridays at 5 to 8.
And I don't know that you can get it. You might be able to get it here. I think you lose it about half a mile up the road on the radio aspect of it. They're trying to get maybe up on a tower.
Maybe I can steal some techniques from you.
And, I don't know. I'm still very raw at it, but I bring a different approach to it.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of music. I'm not a fan of radio. Let's say
it's a big deal. That's good. That's a big statement.
And I love radio
because radio to me screws up music.
They can, and you know, and the so. At the top of the hour, station identification, the news, and the weather. And then I got time for two songs, and then we go to the traffic. You know, Rick Dixon, can you tell me the traffic? You know, and then I got enough for like three songs till we get to the bottom of the hour. And then it becomes the headline news and the weather. And then I got three songs till I get to the traffic, and then I got three songs to the top of the hour. The best part of my show, for me, and probably for the listeners, is the last hour when I go totally free. No.
What kind of restrictions do you have as far as playing music?
I can't do the seven words, the seven bad words. I just found out I can't.
Oh, you can't cuss. No, but I mean, what kind of music can you play? Can you just take 2112 and play any song off of it?
Yeah.
Wow.
We pay royalty.
What's a royalty cost?
I have no idea.
Oh,
I don't know. It may not be much, maybe 20 cents, let's say. But you know, in the course of 3 hours, that's a significant amount. Course of a day, that's a week, a month, a year. It adds up. And it adds up for the artists as well. It's not as much as it should be. I think the artists are underpaid, no question about it, or undercompensated. So, like last night, I was with two friends who I met at the Misfits and Dropkick Murphys concert I took my son to in December.
Misfits, how old are they?
They're old. And what was funny, I said, Zach, you want to go to the Misfits? Oh, yeah. So, like, our music, it's interesting how our music merges.
When I was a kid, it was a big deal for me to get a Misfits shirt. I finally got one. I was like, yeah.
I got a new one. I bought a new one, for the concert. And I put the Dropkick Murphys t-shirt on over it because they were opening for them. And then when they finished, I peeled that off.
I think you can wear I've been told by my 14-year-old son, you cannot wear the concert shirt of the band you're seeing. Shame, shame, shame.
Well, I wasn't because I was wearing the Dropkick Murphys while the Misfits were playing.
Oh, well, that works. Okay, that's good.
But I was playing both. I had them both on. You could tell them that. See if that
we're
works.
We're not cool. That's all.
You know what? I'll take it.
Hey, man, cool restricts a lot of fun stuff.
In my later ages, if I used cool as a motivation or demotivation, I would not have experienced all the things. And, you know, life is a journey. It's not the destination. Right. We know what the destination is. It's 6 feet under. But what's the rush to get there? You know, one guy I worked for in D.C., he founded what ended up being almost a 400-store retail apparel chain. Wow. Very talented guy. He got into trawlers. He was a sailor, but he got into trawlers.
Fishing trawlers?
Well, but pleasure trawlers.
Okay.
They go like, they hardly move. I mean, I think you can row it faster, right? So he invites this guy. He gets a caravan that would go from Annapolis to Newport, and he'd have his sailboat up in Newport at the New York Yacht Club, And they would have a caravan that would go up, and they're all trawlers. And he invites a couple to go with him. And the guy is like, does this go any faster? He's like, why? Well, it's going to take forever to get there. He's like, dude, man, you're missing it. It's not the destination. It's the journey. And you'll see. And what happened was after the trip up and back, the guy went out and bought a trawler and joined the little caravan the next year with his own. And they all would just like slowly plod their way up the coast. And they would stop here. You know, they'd stop like 10 times to get from Annapolis to Newport. Those things move so slow. And he was like that in his corporate life with us. And, you know, you could always just go and like sit into his office and get like 5-10 minutes of, hey, how you doing? And, you know, maybe I can learn something from you.
I just watched the guy cross, went across a few states in a train. It was 24 hours on a train is what his video was. And I was like, why would you do that? You know, that's got to be the worst 24 hours on riding in coach, nonetheless. But he was like, you know, you don't see this part of the country from the highway. You don't see this from an airplane. No. You know, you're passing through small towns. That train track is really like the veins to the heartland. You know, that's the beginning. You know, that's how we got across. That was, how the West was won with the trains.
Oh, it took, imagine going in those wagons, how long it would take.
Oh, my God.
But so many good things happen when you are in a room. Like if you're on a boat with, you know, a couple of people and you're going to be there for like a week, good things happen. You know, you hope. I mean, you hope nothing bad happens. But typically if you're well suited for each other, the conversations are going to be fabulous. The experience, that journey is going to be, remarkable. And you have no idea what it's going to be. So the excitement of what's going to happen this time. For him, what's going to happen this time? What am I going to learn? What am I going to see? What am I going to experience? You know, what is this new couple going to bring to the mix?
Do you guys, to change the subject back to the 99.1 radio, do you record your your episodes, and do you post them on like as a podcast version as well, or just the radio it's alone?
So if you go to that radiorehoboth.com,
okay.
And
that's
radiorehoboth.com.
Okay.
And you scroll down, you'll see the different shows.
Okay. And so you can play them all back.
So like Michael Sprouse, he has a show, mm-hmm. Monday nights. Tim Colfer has a show. He works at Shade Makers, okay. I believe. He's got a couple shows. He does like disco and stuff. Peggy Rayleigh and Eddie Sherman.
Okay.
They do jazz on Sunday nights. But if you go scroll down and like you go to my name, the name of my show is Weekend Kickoff.
Okay.
With Trey. I really didn't want my name. I started as a sidekick with this woman, Robin, who had lots of radio experience. And she left. And I said, do you mind if I keep the show going? You know, I mean, we've still got our friendship and I don't want to ruin that. And she's like, no, go for it. Okay. So I did. But you scroll down and you click on it and they have 6 months of shows archived. So you could go and listen to all that. Last night I ran into this couple that we met up with at that Misfits concert. And we were talking music and, you know, she wanted to know what, you know, about certain things. And I said, oh, my God, I just did a punk show that was last Friday. So it was, I started out with, like, you know, 90s bands, and I picked songs from them. They weren't all 90s songs, but, you know, it's like Pearl Jam and Radiohead and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I did modern new punk. So there's, like, a whole new push happening right now for punk.
Okay.
Madison, Wisconsin, like the Midwest is like big, big punk. There's like a kind of a beach punk happening in California, but it's more like beach, kind of like revved up. Ventures or the,
I don't know. I have my, I'm so out of
Deltones or whatever that genre was, and then I did the go back to the 70s. 77 was like the pinnacle of punk, and it was almost all London. And I played a whole bunch of that stuff. And she's like, oh, send me your playlist. So I started sending her my playlist, which I, gather on Spotify. I send it off to someone else. They upload it. And when I go in, I plug it in to the mix.
Oh, you have to send up your playlist before you do the show?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, they want it preloaded in. Whether I do it live or not, they want to have it up and in.
Well, you mentioned Pearl Jam. I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan.
Oh, I love Pearl Jam.
Well, did you know so some rumors are swirling. You hear any of the rumors?
The super band?
No.
That one?
Oh, no.
Because he's getting together with Dave Grohl. Did you hear that one?
No, the rumor I heard is they're getting ready to release a new album.
Oh.
And they're going to, you know, they just announced a European tour, and they're getting ready to announce a North American tour and new album.
They were just in Europe last year, too, I thought. They're doing a lot of touring.
Yeah, I think, well, Eddie Vedder's touring solo by himself for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think he did a stint over in Europe. But, you know, my buddy Carlos, we do a podcast called Broken Stoked. He's seen him 50 plus times. I've seen him 9. So I call him 50 plus, and I'm just 9.
I think I'm under 5, but I was living in Seattle, 91, 92, 93.
I was in San Diego.
And there was this, I think it was called the End Fest. The radio station was like 107.6, like at the end of the dial. It was the End Fest, and the year I went, it was like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Screaming Trees, Candlebox. I mean, just all
good
Seattle stuff. I was out there. My first wife was ex-wife, worked at Microsoft in New York, and then we moved to Seattle. And out there, I was with all her Microsoft buddies who were my buddies. And most of them were buddies from New York, too. They made that move to corporate headquarters. And we're in this bar in downtown Seattle called Brooklyn. And it was, I think, my goodbye because I was leaving to come back east. And this guy, Bob Vallone from Brooklyn, he goes, check it out. I think Pearl Jam's at the table behind us.
Oh, my God.
Like, turn around and like, yeah, I think that's them. He goes, I'm going to buy him a bottle of champagne. So he like orders a bottle of champagne. And they're like, guys, man, come on over. I mean, honest to God, I swear to God. And we sat down. And this was right about the time Singles, that movie, came out. So you know with the look and all that. And it was, I wish I had known exactly how big they were going to be to really like soak it in.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was what an experience that I can draw back on in my life and say that was just like unbelievable.
So you got to meet Pearl Jam.
I did.
Nice.
I did.
Well, one of the
big and his I don't know if it was, does he marry, has he always been with this woman that is his wife now?
Eddie Vedder?
Yeah.
No, he was with a woman by the name of Beth.
She was there too at that time. But yeah, I met you know, what is it, Mike and anyway,
Mike McCready.
Yeah,
Eddie Vedder. There was a few. I don't know who was in the band at the time.
Yeah, and the one guy who does, he did all the, like the liner notes. He had great.
Jeff Ament.
Yeah, Jeff. Jeff had all the best like handwriting and little doodles of anybody you could imagine when you'd get your CD and you'd open it up in that lyric section. It was always handwritten, which was cool.
Yeah, they're a good band. Well, I'm hoping, we're crossing our fingers for a tour.
Did you hear, I mean, I've heard that they're trying to hook up, and Dave Grohl is trying to get with Pearl Jam and a couple other people, I think some people maybe from Soundgarden and others, to form this like super band. Like, I don't know if you remember Asia, which was Paul Rodgers from Bad Company. They did like one big monster album, and then you had like Traveling Wilburys and things that would get together and do these things. I think they're trying to do something like that, which would, you know, just make me, you know, my eyes open, because I love grunge. I mean, that's one of my favorite.
That was the day. That's where I stopped taking resumes for new music. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good with this right here. I'll keep it.
I've developed an appreciation now for new music. But I was much the same way. It's like, you know, music stopped here. The day music died.
Yeah.
And, well, actually, I think the day music died was when my son was born. Because that's like when I, like, put all the music on hiatus. I stopped buying new music. Because you had to buy it back then.
Yeah.
Now I've Because one of the things, when I started the show, I wanted to do new wave. Thought that was fat. You know, I loved like that whole kind of like 79 to 80 something, 85, 86. You know, there was this radio station, Long Island, WLIR, that was like leading the charge. And they would like have someone go to England and buy albums and bring them back before they were released here in the U.S. And it drove the record companies U.S. crazy because they were, you know, it was all legal, but it really wasn't like fair to their business model. And that was like a cool time. So I'm going to do that. But I'm like, that's already been done, you know? So I started doing my show. Like I do like a theme to start it out with, and I finish it with stuff that I like. And then the whole middle is all new music. And nice. I've started to develop an appreciation for the new music now.
Well, and having kids, like, you know, my son David, he's 14, and they are into music. I mean, we've been up to Philly. We just saw Half Alive, AJR, 21 Pilots. I mean, there's, you know, there's this wave of, right, new music. But, you know, there's always a wave of some sort of new music. But, you know, it's a little bit more about a more positive message, which I appreciate with some of these kids.
And more emo.
Yeah, no more emo stuff. You know, we just went and saw this band Half Alive up at the Living Arts Center up in Philly, and God, it was so cool. My kids, you know, I always say no one's going to be as into music as I was. Well, that's not necessarily true because my son and his friends are. I mean, we got up there 4 hours early. We were first in line. We got, you know, badges to see the band after a meet and greet, and what I mostly appreciated was that these, you know, like the first act was a band called Sure Sure. You know, afterwards, they sat out there and sold their records and T-shirts and stuff. You know, you're like, oh, aren't you supposed to have, you know, this is grinding across the United States kind of, you know, young music. And I appreciated it. I appreciated my kids' dedication, you know.
Sure Sure I haven't played, but all the other ones you mentioned have been part of the show. I really try and search it out and find new music. And what I'm trying to do is the people that are listening, trying to introduce them to some new music. And it's not always the, you know, I'll occasionally play Imagine Dragons and 21 Pilot. I mean, the obvious ones. Once you hear that song from them, you're like, oh, my God, I hear it everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid that.
Imagine Dragons is becoming the new, what was the band that was so good that everyone started hating? I'll forget. I'll remember when
Oasis.
Not Oasis. I like Oasis.
I do too. They never did make it to be the next Beatles, did they?
No. I think they might have been close in Europe, but never here in the United States. Well, they couldn't stop fighting with themselves.
The drinking and the drugs and the fighting and.
Well, and another challenge with music is that there's so many opportunities to listen to music. I mean, it's hard. You know, it's like when we were growing up, you had the radio, or if you bought a record, you know. But now, I mean. Spotify, between Spotify, iTunes, audio. I mean, there's just like now Spotify, and I was an iTunes music guy forever. I love iTunes music, and or I love how iTunes presented the music, I should say, because it's not iTunes music. But my son's like, oh, you need Spotify. iTunes is out. I'm like, what? iTunes is great.
My son too.
So I go, fine. I get Spotify, and then Spotify, I have to give it to them. They present me new music. And I was laughing with the client yesterday. You know, now classic music is like Radiohead or U2. That's now classic rock, you know, where it used to be, you know.
That was alternative.
Eagles and, yeah, now. So,
oh, yeah, yeah, the old 70s.
So it's funny that now the 90s is now classic rock. And, but, you know, and the hard part is that when I am presented with new music like that, I don't pay attention to it. I'm just like, okay, more music, you know. I'm not like, oh, my gosh, you know. Because so much amazing music comes out.
It is. It's and then what's really interesting is there are a couple of bands that have been around the block that are able to hang with the new music. They've adjusted. You know, Weezer is one in particular. Now they've kind of like done a lot of cover to keep relevant, but some of their newer music that wasn't covered is not bad. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Their last album, what, Dark Necessities? That was a good, good album. You know, that it doesn't, you know, who else just came out? A couple of, like, heavy metal bands have, like, resurfaced. as well. And I got a heavy metal fan up in New York who's in my industry and listens to the clothing industry. And will send me requests, and it's like, it's really heavy stuff.
Well, it's funny, like Whitesnake, Def Leppard, Tesla, who
Pantera.
Else? Motley Crue. You know, they're all coming out on these tours. I guess they figured out how to disguise their voices, because there was a time when the singer for Def Leppard could not sing anymore. And now he's back. It's a miracle.
Roger Daltrey.
Well, I'm not sure he made it back.
I did catch him. That was the first concert I went to with my son. And we saw The Who at Wells Fargo. And it was $60. I couldn't believe it.
Was it good?
I loved the music. It was tired.
It was tired, the music?
You know what? Been there, done that kind of thing. And he wasn't all that impressed either. Seats weren't... I learned, don't get the 200 level.
Yeah.
At least at Wells Fargo, that's not great. But then we went to, like a year later, we went to Red Hot Chili Peppers. Fabulous. Fabulous show.
See, I've heard mixed reviews on them. They come out, they play the music, they leave. They don't really interact too much with the crowd. That may have been that. I think someone said that about
they didn't. But,
Firefly,
but the music was enough, and the visual that they had, you know, the Who's visual was really just like a big screens with Pete and Roger.
Yeah,
you know,
you know what I went down. New Year's Eve, Fish played at Madison Square Garden. Have you seen that show on YouTube yet?
No, they
have the whole concert on YouTube, and I was never a Fish fan.
I grew up with a couple of those guys, believe it or not.
Did you?
Princeton, yeah. One, the Trey,
yep.
You know, same name, and then Marshall, Tommy Marshall, who I don't think he's performing. He's been a writer. They all met at UVM.
Well, I've never been a Fish fan. I didn't go down that. I was metal, not Fish.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I was Grateful Dead, but not.
But this concert on YouTube is pretty amazing.
Check it out.
It's a great show. I'm like, I don't even like Fish, but, you know, they are what they are, a great jam band. And they do some fun stuff. They must dump a freaking train load of balloons into that crowd at one point. They do the countdown, and then balloon after balloon falls out of the sky, and then they have this sea of balloons in the crowd, and then as the concert goes on, the balloons start popping up, and then the long string, you know, the long green bean-looking balloons, they start waving. It was a fun show. I've watched several of
experience, right?
Well, they'll do one song for 15 minutes. You're like, oh my God. But it's
kind of in that same genre, the Halloween show for Dead & Company was apparently amazing. And so, like, my buddy, who I'll see in New York next week, he and I share music whenever we can. And he's like, you know, we blew it. We should have gone. You know, we should have gone. He's a big Michael Franti in Spearhead. Have you caught him at all?
I have not.
He rolls through here a couple times. He played...
Let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah. He played at Freeman Stage 1 year, but he always does Ocean City at Secrets a couple times a year.
He's had Michelle on.
He's amazing.
She said she's going to come back in March and announce the lineup.
Nice, nice.
She's good. She's a great lady.
Yeah,
she is. Do you have guests on your radio show?
I do. I promote nonprofit events. So if you have a nonprofit event, you're more than welcome to come in. I guess I've had some guests. I had a local band, Speed Limit 18. You familiar?
Yeah, that's my son's band.
Get out of here, really?
Well, my son does. So that's Oliver and Zach
yeah.
and Alex, and my son does their sound.
Okay. Well, they came on and played on my show.
Nice.
I mean, I would have liked to have continued all that stuff. It's hard now because I'm not doing live.
Oliver's super talented.
Yeah.
He's a super talented kid. I love that kid. Him and my son David have grown up together.
Oh my God! We talk about how
and
small
I'm doing a
community.
Podcast with Tiffany after I do this one with you, which is Oliver's stepmom.
Yep.
So small town.
It is. I met her and I met his mom. They were there. They were all excited, taking pictures and all that. I wish I could do more, but like I said, you know, without being live, it's really hard. But they came in and did acoustic.
Yep.
Which they don't do, but that's okay because that's part of being a musician.
Did they do? The duck song?
No. What song was it? Oh, maybe.
It's such a good song. It talks about
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Oliver just, you know, he's, you know, it's fun to watch him. He's just, you know, he's just a super. They're all fun, super talented kids. And
I found that finding the local, like the ones who do not the kids, but the people who do the local, it's a business to them, and it's they're not always the best guests to have on.
What?
The people that perform around here on a regular basis. Because I wanted to do like local music, have them come on. I talk about local venues more than I talk about local bands now. Because
we just started a new podcast called Delaware Live Local Music, Delaware Live Music, with Jim Rizak, and we've had
I'll listen. And if
we've had four guests on. We've had the Hoochie Coochie, the Honey Badgers. Mm-hmm. Todd Chappelle was just on, and he's a local guitarist. And then another guy, what was his name? Brian something. He was good too. It's, you know, we just bring them in. That's kind of why I got this spot, to bring in bands. And we don't have a great setup, but I tell you what, it sounds good with just a couple microphones.
Well, a lot of the landscape has changed since I first, you know, like I've been doing this about a year and a half, almost 2 years. Wow. The landscape has changed. But when I started it, it was like the same people doing the same bars, doing, you know, the same music every single show. And it just really didn't have the excitement that I really wanted. I did have a friend of mine. They came from New York City to go to the Rudder did a country festival. They do it like in early April or something like that.
Yeah.
Duchesne was the band there, and they came in and they did an acoustic thing as well.
Well, I love that, you know, it's always about one helping another. You know, this podcast is one small business helping another. The Delaware Live Music Podcast is one, you know, one small. Jim Rizak does the podcast for me, and he's a guitar teacher up in Dover, up in Wyoming, Delaware. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's one musician helping another musician. You know, it kind of has to be what it's about. You know, even like some of my favorite, like a Joe Rogan. I love Joe Rogan. You know, it kind of turns out it's kind of one comedian helping another comedian. You know, he has a lot of comedians on and brings in other people too, but it kind of has to have that. You know, it's about helping.
I get more synergy and more energy out of bringing people in who are raising money for, you know, a cause that they're passionate about.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And that's, you know, so like the last thing I did was like the Santa Claus 5K, which is Children and Families First, and it's a great event, you know, right before the holidays. Everybody gets dressed up in Christmas outfits and runs a 5K, and it's done at the Starboard. It's a fabulous thing. And they raise a lot of money for that organization. Before that, I had, you know, Karen Spisato came in to talk about her run, and she raises money for scholarships at Del Tech. And had Sheryl Crow come in for her Run for Paws. Yep. In August, you know, and that, so there are things that I really enjoy that aspect to it. The other thing we haven't talked a lot about is, you know, I've been an advocate for nonprofits for bunch of years, 11 years with Delaware Guidance Services, and I work with the National Retail Federation as well. I try and look after those who can't look for themselves for one reason or another.
No, it's good stuff. Well, listen, Trey, I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, well, thank you for having
me on.
This
has been a great chat. Yeah. Let's talk real quick. 99.1, what nights? Friday nights?
Friday night, 5 to 8.
5 to 8.
Or if you miss that, you can go on to RadioRehoboth.com.
RadioRehoboth.com.
Scroll down to Weekend Kickoff and listen to any show you want.
And check it all out. Cool, man.
It's interesting. Listen, very laid back, much like this setup here. I try not to, you know, no Wolfman Jack.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I always say anybody that comes on the podcast probably had something better to do, so I appreciate you taking out the time and hanging out with me.
Did not. I was looking forward to this. This was the highlight of my week and month.
All right, brother. Well, listen, thank you.
Tom.
And anytime you want to come back and chat, come on back.
Appreciate it.
All right, brother. Bye.
Bye.